Okay, this is the podcast on negritude. Negritude is a movement that starts in the late 1920s, early 1930s, a little bit after what we in the United States call the Harlem Renaissance, right? This is Francophone. It's done by French-speaking Black writers and intellectuals. It's specifically based in a Pan-African tradition, but all three of the people who came up with it end up in the Caribbean. Well, two of the three end up in the Caribbean. Senghor himself ends up in West Africa. Right, if you take a look at the page on the website, you see that it's this movement that has these several important ideas. The first is this rejection of European colonization and its role in the African diaspora. Diaspora means a spreading out, right? The image there is of Cecil Rhodes, a guy who is, you know, so full of himself and so kind of self-aware of his own importance that he names an entire nation after himself, Rhodesia. He founds the De Beer Mining Company, which is, if you're looking for the kind of perfect model of colonization and colonial enterprise, De Beers is where it's at in terms of the stuff we talked about with Tagore, those four steps of missionary activity, economic, cultural activity, right? This is certainly the economic activity there, right? It's the owner of the British South Africa Company, right? And as he says, he wanted to paint the map red, wanted to make as much as he could of the world a British colony or a British possession. This comes after almost 50 or 60 years after what's known as the Scramble for Africa. Remember when we looked at Candide and we talked about how the Spanish and the Portuguese saw the proxy wars that were going on between the colonies of European nations, and they decided to just split South America, their colonies there. Portugal took the eastern half and Spain took the western half. Well, all of Europe got together and did that in the middle of the 19th century with Africa and carved that place up. And that's known as the Scramble for Africa. Everybody wanting to get, every European power wanting to get a piece of Africa, right? All under the kind of self-deluded guise of bringing light to the benighted and stuff like bringing culture, specifically European culture, to justify basically economic, you know, taking advantage of these people. So negritude looks at it and rejects that idea, and especially says the second point, this lack of humanity when it dealt with Africa. And you have that great quotation there from our president, Theodore Roosevelt, talking about Gambia. Right? It's the most horrible thing I've seen in my life. The natives are 5,000 years back of us. The British have been there for 200 years, and for every dollar the British have put into Gambia, they've taken out 10. It's just plain exploitation. Well, I mean, you could say that with about almost every colony that a European power has. There is just kind of this lack of concern for, you think of Conrad's, one of Joseph Conrad's most famous works, Heart of Darkness, and his critique of European colonization. And that gets kind of interpreted and misinterpreted by important authors, but fundamentally, Conrad is calling out the exact same thing there, that there's this lack of humanity. We get this Pan-African kind of idea too, right? This recognition that Africans, or any non-Europeans for that matter, do not have to subscribe to European values and cultures, but take pride in their own. What is beautiful and good and worthwhile in Africa is not necessarily what is beautiful, good, and worthwhile in Europe. And instead of aspiring to, or aspiring is probably a bad word because it attaches value to that, instead of attempting to live up to or live down to European standards, Africans should embrace their own standards about what is beautiful and good and worthy. We see that idea of Ubuntu, this notion of interdependence, which, let's face it, Europe comes to far later in the 20th century with the rise of the European Union. kind of the rejection of the nation state. And this point also allows many critics to condemn negritude because it kind of washes over or ignores the differences between, say, the Ghana Republic or Mali or, you know, the historical Bantu empires. And different Africans are treated or consider themselves different than other Africans. Negritude is, as a pan-African movement, looks to embrace all of Africa, and so it kind of glosses over lots of the distinctions between what goes on in one empire or one tribal area as opposed to another. Nevertheless, this movement toward subscribing to and promoting traditional African values and culture is a far cry from what the European colonizers want to do. And then finally, the fourth main point is this recognition that it's this class and economic distinction. The rich have power, and they're never going to address, it is not in their interest to address the differences in power and the differences in wealth between the rich and the poor. So the poor have to do this themselves, right? And there's a quotation there from Voltaire, "The comfort of the rich depends upon an abundant supply of the poor." Well, that's I mean, people have known this for a couple of hundred, if not a couple of thousand years, that the heaven of the, think of Blake, who talks about in The Chimney Sweeper, "They're gone to praise God and his priest and king who make up a heaven of our misery." The heaven of the rich is balanced upon the backs and the poverty of the poor. So the call is to rise up. And if you look at the Trois Pères, the three great fathers of negritude as a movement, Césaire, Senghor, and Damas, Césaire and Senghor turn to literature, right, as a cultural force that will move things. Senghor, of course, ends up in politics and ends up as the first president of Senegal, newly independent Senegal, and we'll talk about that when we look at Senghor. But Damas is kind of, I don't want to say an outlier about this, but he's the guy who turns political right away. And he's constantly calling for armed rebellions against the colonizers, against the wealthy. He's calling for a class revolution. Maybe we could say it has Marxist tendencies, but let's just say it has self-determinant tendencies. Now, the term itself, negritude, and I save this for the end because it's so crucial, right? Césaire coins this term, right? And he says, "The simple recognition of the fact that you're black, an acceptance of this fact and of our destiny as blacks and of our history and culture," right? It is, and you'll see there, right? It says, he definitely uses the term negra, which has such negative connotations at the time in the 1920s and 30s, right? And you'll see, I say, it uses the word much like the English word nigger, right? This word, it's dangerous, it's volatile, it's deliberately offensive, but it's black people calling themselves this, right? Why? Because you use that term on yourself, you take away the power of anybody else to hurt you with it. As he says, he deliberately and proudly incorporated this derogatory term there because he knew that he was giving it a whole new 180 degree reversal of the power it had formerly had. Right? Negritude becomes an international movement, right? The Harlem Renaissance comes from it. And we look at, say, like you think of the next great kind of flowering of black, well, it's called the BAM, the Black Arts Movement in the 1960s and early 1970s in the United States. It's interesting, in English-speaking countries, we think of that as the second idea of the Harlem Renaissance, but internationally, that's seen as a direct result of negritude as well, because it's not just about English-speaking countries, it's about Francophone countries as well. And you see that there are plenty of the Mau Mau uprising in Kenya, the BAM, the Black Power movement later in the 70s, the Black Panthers. more of a Damas move than a Senghor or Cesaire move, but we see these kind of serious considerations and kind of a lashing out against centuries of European domination, a condemnation of what those centuries have done to Africa. We'll see this both, or we'll see obvious manifestations of this both when we look at Senghor's poetry, which is what the next module's about.